Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. And welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's a quite the right time to thank Matthias Sangala with the Twilight. And yeah, it's that time of the morning where we discuss economic affairs, where we discuss global affairs and everything that is affecting our bread and butter. And it's the 9th of October, 2025. And, we are moving, toward the end of, 2025. And yeah, wherever you are, we are greeting you from your number one talk radio station in Namibia. That is, Eagle FM Namibia. And, we are very happy to be with you this time from the hour of 6 until, 8 in the morning. And here is where we have to give you what is happening around, and also to give you context and also content about issues related to development, issues related to governance, and issues related to policies. And yeah, this morning, wherever you are finding yourself, it's always very important, actually, before we go to what we have on the table, it's always very important also to see what are those things that you need to do, particularly when you wake up, and also what are the things that you need to understand also in life, and what are those things that we need to educate one another in life, because every day when you wake up, you are growing, you know, every day that you are waking up, you know, you are not, you know, the same age or the same, you know, you are not the same age, actually, as the day that you went into bed, because you are that age plus those hours. And there are always new things to learn every day, because one thing that we need to learn is that, you know, every time that you wake up, you don't actually need to react on everything that is happening around you, because in life you don't need to react on everything that's happening around you. That's why you find somebody in the morning, you have actually a very beautiful morning, and you start arguing already, or you meet somebody that, you know, did something that you do not like. Don't let that person ruin your morning. And if you are not reacting on everything, sometimes it's life. If you talk to an elder, somebody who has been on this life for quite a long time, you realize that, you know, sometimes they understand that, you know, dust will settle one day. Dust will settle and the grass will grow again. That's why sometimes in life you just need to look at things, observe, and also see what tomorrow look like. Because, you know, when I think about when I was young, those time at primary school, you are so stressed about, you know, going with wrong shoes at home, because that is your level of stress. But that is nothing. It's not even something that we're supposed to be stressed about, but because of that level, then, you have to react that way. Yeah, we are starting with, what is happening around the world? What is, happening around the world before we go to what we have on the table today? Because today, just to give you a tip of what we are going to have, we are going to have a guest from ECOWAS, born in Nigeria, and we're going to discuss issues of social protection and also issues of African Union and United Nations Development Program report on social protection, and also to ask to say, what is the perspective of ECOWAS? What are those regional bodies, particularly in the Western Africa? How do they look at issues of social protection? How do they deal with the vulnerable? That is something that we are going to look at today, especially later on when we are going to engage that guest. That is actually the context of the main conversation for today. But looking at what is happening around the world, may be able also to see that there's an ongoing negotiation in Egypt, especially between Hamas and also the Israelis. There's an ongoing negotiation which entered the third day, and Donald Trump, the president of the United States of America, indicated that he was very happy that Israel and Hamas, they have agreed on the first phase of negotiation, which is releasing of detainees, or releasing of hostages, that these two countries, or these two fighting parties, they have agreed to say everybody's going to release detainees, or going to release are hostage of others. Yeah, that is, you can call them war prisoners, you can call them hostages. That is the first phase, actually, that was agreed on that ground. And it's a positive development. It's a positive development because everybody want peace, everybody want to trade, everybody want to focus on real issues, not only about issues of fighting. But it's also a very positive news, particularly coming from World Trade Organization. There is positive news coming from World Trade Organization, especially when it has, upgrade its focus on looking at the end of 2025, especially when it comes to the growth focus from 0.9% to 2.4%. And why in this, maybe you may also want to ask a question to say why the world is going through a lot of challenges, war and trade tariffs, but the World Trade Organization is upgrading its economic focus. You may be able to see that when you look at its global, its newly released global economic outlook, one of the main things which stood out is the aspect of, artificial intelligence products or artificial intelligence related goods, which have boosted the international trade. And this is one of the positive development, and it's also one of the things that you need to look at when you speak about artificial intelligence products which have boosted trade. Who are buying this, and what are they made of, and what is your contribution in this? Because one thing that we need to look at is that when the global economic focus is showing a positive outlook. When a global economic focus is showing a positive outlook, you must be able also to see that to whose advantage is this? Because when there is an increment in terms of AI related products or AI related goods, who is benefiting from this? Are these benefits going directly to the Africans, for example? Are these benefits also affecting Namibians, or is those who are in charge of manufacturing, is those who are in charge of robotics, is those who are in charge of advancing their software that they sell, or also Africa is included. It's the same thing that you need to compare when you look at, for example, what have happened from 2019 to 2022 there, or to 2021, especially during COVID-19, when out of all the chaos, pharmaceutical companies were making a lot of money. But to whose advantage, who is benefiting from that, and who is paying for that? So that is one of the, it's actually a very positive news, but need to be looked at from both sides to say when the trade is boosted by the selling of artificial intelligence related products, when the global focus is refocused or is, upgraded in terms of how the economy is going to grow, who is going to benefit from this, and what is World Trade Organization has to say? Because in issues of economy, it's not only about number, it's also about impacts, and it's also about who is benefiting from that upgrading. The same way, when you're in a country, then we are telling you to say Namibia is a lower middle-income country. Did an ordinary person on the ground felt about downgrading? Or when Namibia was advanced to be an upper middle income, did that come to an ordinary person on the ground to say, I think I can also feel that? If you did not feel that, you may be able also now to see that, it should not only add at numbers, it should also look at the impact that number has. Because whether, you must understand this. As somebody who is, you are on the ground, then we are indicating to you to say Namibia and economy have grown with 8%, for example. Then I'm asking you, did anything change in your meal? Did anything change in terms of your income? Did anything change in terms of your service? Because if not, it's just a number. That is why when you are looking at this forecast, we must not be able to see that. When situation is like this, how can developing countries also can take advantage of this, because World Trade Organization give you also direction. Because when World Bank is coming up with their economic outlook, when IMF is coming up with their economic outlook, World Bank also have their own prediction. I mean, World Trade Organization also have their own prediction to see how are the trades working, what are the numbers saying, and which products and to whose advantage. So let us look at this news before we come to the continent of Africa.
On Tuesday, said it was sharply raising its forecast for global merchandise trade growth to 2.4% this year. The trade body had last set its prediction at 0.9% as recently as August.
World merchandise trade volume growth came in stronger than expected in the first half of 2025, up 4.9% year on year. We now expect world merchandise trade volumes to expand by 2.4% this year.
Among this year's solid features is trade between developing countries.
South-South trade grew 8% year-on-year in value terms in the first half of 2025, compared to 6% for world trade overall. Our very rough estimates suggest South-South trade involving partners other than China is growing even faster, up around 9%. With respect to services trade, which continues to outpace trading goods, the new report projects 4.6% growth in 2025 in volume terms.
The organization also attributed the increasing merchandise trade to front-loaded imports in the United States over tariff sphere and AI-related purchases.
The report finds that trade in AI-related goods was a key driver of the strong growth in the first half of 2025, with trade in these products rising 20% year-on-year in value terms, accounting for nearly half of year-on-year increase at the global level, despite representing less than 10% of total merchandise trade. The rise in AI-related trade seems to have been fueled by structural investments in digital infrastructure, from semiconductors to cloud servers.
At the same time, the organization said this trend would slow down in 2026.
Yeah, much investment in AI or digital infrastructure. You might be able also to understand that the world is going digital. The world is going digital. And not only digital, but digital in the very smart way. That is why it's always very important to look at that area to say, if the world is moving in this direction, where should I catch up with the world? Where should I catch up with the world? How should I advance myself? How should I also invest in that sector? And you also need to ask yourself to say, what will happen to the recommendation of Namibia AI readiness? What will happen to that recommendation? Is that recommendation still in line, especially when it's coming to advancing the infrastructure, advancing the digital infrastructure to make sure that in terms of AI, and in terms of digitalization, schools and universities are capacitated to that extent that we may be able also to follow up on what is happening around the world. That is what's happening. And it's also something that we need to compare into, say, after all these global chaotic activities which are happening, there is still a positive line that it's not only the US or US trade partners who are investing in digital infrastructure, but everybody is investing in digital infrastructure, particularly the countries in Asia, South America, Europe, and in Africa. We are still behind, but there is also development in terms of investment in digital infrastructure, although we are taking a back seat in that aspect. But it's something which is positive, because in the world we can't just talk about chaotic activities, not only about rebels killing each other, but it's also about where the world want to go. It's about Now, the other news that we need to look at, is that, six of South African activists on Gaza, who were, detained, were released, because, what you need to understand is that, there was a humanitarian mission that was, happening in Gaza, where the grandson of, Nelson Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela, was part of that delegation, and they met, you know, they were arrested, especially by you know, Israeli forces. But after negotiations, and we have also seen in the past days where the president of South Africa said these people must be released, said that his people must be released immediately because Israel was breaking international laws. It was indicated that you know, they were finally returning home. They were finally returning home. And they are already in South Africa. What is very interesting is that there's a man by the name Mandla Mandela, who is a grandson of Nelson Mandela. He's a former lawmaker. He's one of the most, you know, he's a prominent South African politician too. You are able also to see that, you know, the sign of fighting, resilient, and also fighting for world peace. It's in the blood. It's in the blood. That's why, you know, following what have happened, they finally returned home from detention or detention by Israel. But it's quite important to look at this news and also move forward.
Six South African activists who were on board the Gaza humanitarian aid flotilla returned home on Wednesday after being released by Israeli authorities. Speaking after their return, they said they suffered mistreatment during their abduction and expressed solidarity with Palestinians. Among the activists receiving a warm hero's welcome at Johannesburg's airport was Nelson Mandela's grandson, Mandla Mandela.
We were subjected to all forms of brutality from then. But it's nothing compared to what Palestinians have been subjected to on a daily basis. We were kidnapped on international waters. Palestinians are attacked, maimed, and killed.
The activists said they were subjected to harsher treatment than other detainees due to South Africa's role in the genocide case against Israel.
We are the ones who took Israel to the ICJ and ICC, so there is a bit of anger about that. And we don't have an embassy in Israel. We have our embassies in Ramallah in Palestine. So our consular officials tried to come to us. They tried to come to us even from Thursday. And they were not allowed. And then when they finally saw us, it was Sunday. And on Sunday, they were only really allowed like 2 minutes, and they said time up, and then we said no.
Israel has denied claims of mistreatment. The South African nationals were among some 450 activists arrested as Israeli forces intercepted the flotilla seeking to break Israel's Gaza blockade.
Yeah, that is what's happening, that side of South Africa. What's happening outside of South Africa, especially when the activists they went to Palestine to show solidarity and also to assist, but they were finally they were arrested, but now they are returning home, or they return home actually. And what you need to know is that when the activists are saying they were subjected to harsh punishment, one of the things that you need to look at in the history of international relations is that Israel is not happy with South Africa, because South Africa was the first country to take Israel to international court, and argued that case, which is quite a very strong argument. To that extent that, you know, the investigation of United Nations have continued. To that extent that, as we are speaking now, the International Court has issued a warrant of arrest to the Prime Minister of Israel. And the activists, they are saying that due to that hatred, they were subjected to all sorts of punishment. But Mandla Mandela, the grandson of Nelson Mandela, said that was nothing compared to what people in Palestine are going through. He indicated that was nothing compared to what people in Palestine are going through. And there is also very interesting news. It's a very interesting news coming from Madagascar there. It was indicated that the president of Madagascar, this Andry Rajoelina, he called for dialogue, indicating that he wants one more year, and indicated that when it comes to the ongoing protest, indicated that he just won one more year, and when he does not fix that power outrage, he will resign. But he called youth leaders, and he also called different representatives such as academia, NGO, to have dialogue, and indicated that he just wants one more year. And if he does not fix this power outrage, there is also the aspect of shortage of water. And in that case, he indicated that he wants just 1 year to fix all these things which are happening, and indicated that he will fix the country's economy, and he will give the young people of Madagascar what they want. It's quite interesting news to look at, especially looking at the situation which have been happening in Madagascar, and that situation have left. The lives of more than 22 people, and also more than 100 people injured. You need to understand that the leaders of those protests is what is called Generation Z. It's called Generation Z. And Generation Z is young people who are not yet 30 years. Who realize that when it comes to electricity in the country, when it's coming to water, there's a shortage of that, and also poor public service delivery. That's why 2 weeks ago, they took to the street, and the president of Madagascar was even forced to dissolve his government. He dissolved the whole government, and he also appointed military general just to act as a prime minister because the situation became a security threat. And he indicated that he called for dialogue and invited various groups from civil society to hold talks at the presidential palace. And one of the things that we should quote is what he indicated. He stated that I swear before God, I ask you for 1 year and I will succeed. And if I don't do that, then I will resign. And to complete his promise, the president also relying on several ongoing projects, including commission of 105 megawatts thermal power plant and 100 megawatts of solar parks, and also 60 megawatts of worth of generators. And it's quite not a very good thing, actually, to look at forcing a president to complete a project within 1 year. Because remember, it's just leadership which is needed, because the president is not the one who is doing the work. And we made sometimes overjudge the competency of the presidency. But what you need to look at is that the president cannot run any project, but she or he can be able to give directive and directions, giving the executive authority and that power to say, I'm authorizing this, I'm appointing this person to run this project, and I'm making this person a minister, and this is my vision. And in most cases, things that we see is those who are charged with the responsibility of implementing those decisions, in most cases, they are the one who end up, and they also end up not being seen. It's like the work of a minister. A minister can give a directive to say, this is what I want to be done, and I'm commanded by the president to complete this project. But at the end of the day, you have the implementer. In most cases, sometimes we over-analyze things, but it could be that it is not just Andre Rajorin. There are also those who want you to fail. There are people who can intentionally sabotage your project so that you can look bad, so that they can get away with it. Can be revenge or somebody also infiltrating what you want to do. Because at the end of the day, leadership must be there. But leadership without people working together will not work out. Because look at the head of SADC, who is cornered by the young people in Madagascar. It's quite, that is not the direction that African country were supposed to go into. That's not the direction. Look at the man who was elected to say, please, guys, give me one more year. I swear to God, I ask you for 1 year and I will succeed. And when you are looking at this, it's not only him. It's not him who is going to do the work. He was supposed to, or he has to appoint the right people at the right position and utilize those resources. And that is what's happening. And let us look at this news before we look at the tension in between Ethiopia and Eritrea. Then we look at what we have on the table today, moving forward.
Madagascar's President Andry Rajoelina on Wednesday invited various groups from civil society to hold talks in the presidential palace. The initiative was an attempt to regain control and ease the country's crisis amid a nationwide protest movement. Over 1,500 people responded to the call, including students, youth associations, representatives of the church and medical personnel. I swear before God, I tell you, in 1 year, if there are still power and water cuts in Antananarivo, I will resign. 1 year. 1 year. I ask you for 1 year. I will succeed. As I speak to you, we are in the process of ordering 60 megawatts worth of generators, which will arrive here in no more than 2 months. We will even transport them by plane if necessary, so that there will be no more outages here in Antananarivo and throughout Madagascar. Rajoelina assured he would resign if power outages continued in the capital in a year's time. Meanwhile, protests were ongoing in the streets of Antananarivo throughout the day. Junior doctors demonstrated and began a strike to demand better working conditions, while Gen Z protesters boycotted the president's invitation and called for a general strike.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That is what is happening in Madagascar. And the president said, one more year, please, and I will make sure that I sort things out. And, you know, when you look at these pictures, Generation Z, who are coming from the protest, they are putting on suits. They are at the presidential palace and discussing and negotiating. And now the question that you're asking yourself, was this part of the plan, or is it speaking under duress? Because when you are cornered, you are threatened. You have to do everything to make sure that you survive. That's why are these words real words, or is just words of somebody who is cornered? Or and is this what you know, Africa should look in terms of direction? What is the what are the challenges of service delivery, particularly the basic needs, particularly the basic you know, human needs such as water, electricity, basic shelter, and many others? Because if you see a capital city such as Antananarivo without electricity and water, what about the rural areas? What about those who are at the edge of development? And those are the questions that we need to ask, to say service delivery must be part of non-negotiable things about, especially when it's coming to human beings. Because if you do not have water in this time, if you do not have electricity, there is almost nothing that you can do. That is why when you look at what's happening in Madagascar, it's actually giving a bad image to SADC, actually, because he was supposed, or he is leading SADC. He is leading SADC. And in leadership, you must lead by example. You can't discuss about SADC accelerating issues, or SADC, you know, implementing key pillars such as issues of climate, food security, clean water, but you do, you have chaos at home. Yeah, maybe it's high time that we must sort out the basic needs before we enter real conversations. People are talking about, because when you look at the world, comparison is bad if it's done for bad intention, but comparison is good to know where you are and also see what you can learn from others. But when you look at Africa, we are still struggling with basic needs. We are still struggling with food. People are talking about trade. People are talking about AI. People are talking about not even value addition, advancement on added value. People are speaking about innovation. We are still speaking about food, water, electricity. How can we accelerate this, and how can we catch up with the world? And who is coming to save us? And what went wrong in that aspect? So that is something that we need to ask ourselves. Everybody, because this is not only a thing for Madagascar. It's a thing for everybody. It's a thing for the whole SADC, the whole Africa, and service delivery, especially. And I'm very much interested in those who are at leadership at the grassroots, at the grassroots level, especially the constituency councillor and local authority councillors, to say, in addressing the basic needs, what have happened in 20 years, in the past 20 years, what have happened, and what is that thing that you are going to do new? Is the standard of upgrading the basic service delivery in your township improved, or is just going to continue as business as usual? Because that is something that everybody must be cognizant about. That's something that everybody must be cognizant about. And when we have that, then you can focus on other things. How can you focus on quality education if you don't have internet to read during the night? I mean, you don't have internet, you don't have electricity, and you do not have water. How can you go to university if you are not bathing? And finally, before we go to the conversation for today, let us look at this news of Ethiopia and also Eritrea. It was stated that it comes to Ethiopia. Ethiopia has accused Eritrea of waging war against it in the latest sign of escalation tension between two countries over control of Red Sea. And it was indicated that the Ethiopian Authority wrote to the Secretary General of United Nations and indicating that Eritrea is planning to wage war. Eritrea is planning to wage war against Ethiopia. And it's quite also interesting to see, because one of the critical area there that is the center of argument, or is the center of conflict, is the control of Red Sea. It's the control of Red Sea. And Red Sea is quite a trade route, which when you have control over it, when you have control of the entrance, when you have control over that trade, then you can be able also to improve your trade and also expand your influence. That's why when it comes to trading, especially by sea, it cut cost. But when you look at Eritrea, Eritrea is it's a country with a population of almost just like Namibia. But when you look at Ethiopia, there's a population of more than 130 million people. But the question is that how come in terms of war and in terms of, you know, causing stability, looking at that number. But what is very interesting is that, you know, in this world, it's not about numbers. It's about your firepower, and it's also about your friends. It's not only about numbers, it's about how strong you are, how economically influential you are, and how strong are your weapons, because and also who are your friends, because it's the same with what happened, especially when you look at Israel, and when you look at Israel and also and Iran, maybe able to say that in terms of balance of ratio, Israel population was Israel population is not even more than 10 million, while the population of Iran is almost 100 million. You say, how come a very small country in terms of numbers have become so a threat to this huge nation? But it's about who your friends are, it's about who is influencing you, and it's also about who is behind you, because there's always somebody who is benefiting. And also about parties which are against your enemies, because here Ethiopia wrote a letter and accusing Eritrea of funding and mobilizing, directing armed groups in Ethiopia, Amhala region, where the federal army has been fighting rebels. So let us look at this news. Then we come back at home. Then we look at the discussion for today, especially when we will enter in a conversation with representative of ECOWAS to tell us and to discuss with us, especially regarding the report that is dealing with social protection. However, let us look at the news of Ethiopia and move forward.
Timotheros wrote to the United
Ethiopia. Do you ever wonder why we have so many road rules? Like, don't jaywalk, don't drink and drive, don't drive with underinflated tires, and don't speed. It's because we don't want you to put your life at risk. Don't become a statistic. Don't become a headline. Be a responsible road user. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Ethiopia has accused Eritrea of preparing to wage war against it in the latest sign of escalating tensions between the two countries over control of the Red Sea. Ethiopian Foreign Minister Gideon Timotheros wrote to the United Nations Secretary General on October 2nd. In his letter, the top diplomat claimed Eritrea was colluding with the Tigray People's Liberation Front, an opposition group based in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region. Ethiopia also accused Eritrea and the TPLF of supporting armed groups in its Amhara region, where the Federal Army has been fighting rebels. Eritrea has not yet commented on the letter. The relationship between the two countries has become increasingly strained in recent months, reviving their shared bloody history. Eritrea took control of the Red Sea coastline when it gained independence from Ethiopia in 1993. The border war that opposed the two countries between 1998 and 2000 killed tens of thousands of people. Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed eased lasting tensions when he took office in 2018, but Ethiopia has been pushing to regain access to the Red Sea in recent years, which has strained its relationship with its neighbor. In his letter, the Ethiopian Foreign Minister said his country hoped to negotiate with the Eritrean government over this issue.
That is what is happening. That is what is happening. And looking at that news, it's not the first time. It's not the first time that these countries enter into war. And remember that Eritrea, so gain its freedom from Ethiopia those days. Particularly when it comes to issues of trade-related aspect, there is a fight of Red Sea. It's not only about Red Sea. When you look at critical trade routes, when you look at critical trade ports, you may be able to realize that no one wants to lose that sector. And one of the reasons that you need to also understand is that when Iran, for example, forced those who were fighting him, or those who were fighting the country of Iran, especially when Israel was bombing Iran, one of the sectors is that one of the effect of what forced Iran and Israel to come to the negotiation is the Hormuz trade route that Iran was threatening to block, because that was holding around 30% of oil trade in the world. And that is a critical trade route. And the issues of trade routes, they caused a lot of fights. If you look at the history of the Suez Canal and many other trade routes, there have always been fight. But it's always that there will be peace. And so let us look at the commercial break. Then we move it what do you have today?
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2.
Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at
104.0. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ningefata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsi Nehangano, Rio Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Here, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-0683. You can also email us at digital@omalighty.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at issues of economic development. We are looking at issues which affect people on the ground. But on this morning, I'm joined by one of the ECOWAS representatives, especially when it comes to issues of social protection. As you understand that yesterday, the African Union and also United Nations Development Program, they launched a report on community-based social protection. But at the center of that argument, the center of that report, there was issues of people with disability, inclusive discussion. But today, I'm joined by Ms. Ambibola Oye from ECOWAS to discuss about this issue. So, Ms. Ambibola, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, thank you very much for your time also. Let us start with from the perspective of ECOWAS, maybe just to take us through, particularly on the work of ECOWAS on inclusive development and also inclusive advancement, and also the work of people with disability. How is that side, particularly in the eastern part, I mean in the western part of Africa, to say, and the role of ECOWAS on that ground?
Okay, thank you once again for having me on the show, David.
Yeah.
For those who do not know, the ECOWAS is the Economic Community of West African States. This is the regional economic bloc that takes care of the 12 countries currently in West Africa. Well, in terms of the work we're doing in the area of inclusiveness and advancement of the rights of persons with disabilities, our mandate comes from the revised treaty of ECOWAS, which charges the body to preserve, protect, and promote the rights of all community citizens. And when we say all community citizens, this definitely includes persons with disabilities. Unfortunately, the revised treaty is not explicit when it comes to disability inclusion, but along the line, there have been different policy statements which have mainstreamed or integrated the issue of disability inclusion. However, in 2022, we recorded a landmark achievement with the adoption of the Regional Action Plan on Disability Inclusion. This is the first regional document integrating the rights of persons with disabilities on the continent of Africa. And we didn't stop there. Recently, that was last year, we also adopted the ECOWAS Social Protection Framework, which deals with issues of vulnerabilities.
Yes, while we are there, let us talk on issues of business, issues of education, and what particularly in the state of ECOWAS, because here we have SADC, we have EAC on the other side, and many other regional bodies, but there have always been a question on inclusive development, and also how are the citizens, particularly those who are dealing with disability, taken care of, especially in terms of opportunity in economics, in business, and at what level is that?
Okay. So thank you very much. To answer this question, ECOWAS member states are doing a lot to ensure that they integrate persons with disabilities across the different sectors of the economy. Let me speak briefly on the issue of education. Most ECOWAS member states have what is called inclusive quality education, which guarantees learning to children with disabilities, regardless alongside their counterparts who do not have disabilities. But the whole idea is that these children are given free education. Yes, free education to ensure that they are not discriminated against when it comes to actualizing the right to education. Now, when it comes to employment, this is a very critical issue. Promoting decent work is one of the sustainable development goals. And this is one area where ECOWAS member states are doing a lot for persons with disabilities. In Cote d'Ivoire, for example, 20% of the employment quota is reserved for persons with disabilities annually. So if 100 people are recruited by the government every year, 20% of those 100 must be persons with disabilities. Another critical area is with regards to legal protection. Most ECOWAS member states already have a disability law. And through that disability law, for example, building codes have been made it is now mandatory that accessibility is an issue in all the building codes. So for a building's plan to be approved, it must be accessible to persons with disabilities. So across the different sectors, health, education, employment, accessibility to,
Okay. Okay, let us look at challenges. We have seen the policy. Let us look at challenges because we also want to compare with what is happening here in SADC and also with other economic bodies. Looking at countries within ECOWAS, what are some of the challenges that you are facing, and how do you deal with that, especially dealing with people with disabilities and opportunities?
Okay. Thank you so much for your question. It's always good to reflect on challenges. So, the challenges cut across different areas, from policy implementation to resource allocation, to prevention of stigma, and so on and so forth. So, yes, as I'm saying, there are several challenges. We as ECOWAS conducted a regional study on disability inclusion, which pointed out the fact that there are several challenges regarding disability inclusion in the region. One, data. We definitely need data to plan.
Yeah.
We need data for evidence-based policy making. But across the region of West Africa, we have a challenge in terms of how we define disability.
Yeah.
Some member states are still defining disability from the medical or charity perspective. Yeah. Meanwhile, the recommendation of the UN Convention is that disability should be defined as a human rights issue. So, number one, definition. Definition affects data collection. Because if we do not define what disability is, it will be difficult to know how many people have a disability, what sort of disability type, and so on and so forth. So disability is a core challenge. Ratification of legal instruments is also another challenge. Ratification as well as reporting. Another one is budget reallocation. You would agree with me that the budget allocated to the social sector across the continent of Africa is very low. So this is a sector that is poorly resourced in terms of financial and human capacity.
Yes, let us look at two things in one. The other one is going back to what you said regarding implementation of policy to say what really can be done, and also to look at from that side of ECOWAS, from West Africa, how is research and development? Because when you are looking at statistics, when you are comparing reports of, for example, African peer review mechanism, there is always a shortage in terms of statistics, and they are always recommending about government to allocate more than 1% to their GDP to research and development. But in the sector of disability, how do you get your data? How do you deal with your statistics? And what is the investment in that area from ECOWAS?
Well, thank you so much for your question. So data on disability inclusion is sourced from the National Statistical Agency of ECOWAS member states. That is the source. And this data is collected through national censuses, NDHS, National Demographic and Household Surveys, Labor Force Surveys. So these are some of the methodologies through which we collect disability data. But there's a huge weakness there because there is no harmonized methodology for collecting this data. Most member states, from my experience, don't even know about the Washington Group of Short Set Questions. So you ask the question, how exactly are you collecting this information? Last, in May or so, we were in Cote d'Ivoire, and you cannot believe that the director of disability inclusion had never heard of the Washington Group of Questions. So you see that capacity is lacking. So data is being collected, but without harmonized methodologies, without capacity to do so. So, I mean, this is a huge gap because without data, we cannot plan effectively. Now, to come to what ECOWAS is doing to close this gap, we are a regional body responsible for setting minimum standards. So what we are currently doing is to develop an accountability framework. And that accountability framework, first of all, would help member states to define what disability is according to UN standards. So with that done, we also have a set of indicators that we will be monitoring. We have about 9 of them, cutting across social protection, political participation, employment issues, and most importantly, the work ECOWAS is doing on disability inclusion would also be scrutinized.
Yes. And while we spoke about those pillars, particularly on the economic part, you know, Africa is moving toward the realization of Agenda 2063, and there's always been an issue of continental integration. But one of the things which was mentioned is that there is no integration without including of person with disability. Now my question come here to say, how is the cooperation of ECOWAS with other regional bodies such as IAC, such as also SADC? And I also want to see the relationship between that, because, you know, a lot of people, especially us from SADC, we see ECOWAS from that perspective, but we don't really see that relation coming together, because we want to see that, particularly in the line of work that we are doing, and how is the collaboration in terms of that moving forward?
Thank you so much, David. That question is really important. As you are aware, there are 8 recognized RECs. Yeah. 8 RECs are recognized by the African Union. And these 8 RECs are the building blocks of continental integration. Unfortunately, the collaboration and coordination between these RECs is very poor, very, very weak. Since we started the Disability Inclusion Program of ECOWAS, I do not think that we have had any engagement with any REC. There was a time when ECAS, that's the Central African Community, if I'm right, reached out to ECOWAS. There was even a time we had a memorandum of understanding with ECAS, but unfortunately, it was not implemented. So we need to beef up efforts in terms of cross-learning, coordination, and all of that amongst the RECs. For now, we hardly have anything to show. Thank you.
Yeah, just your last final words, especially looking at that report. What are the key things that you think this way reported well, or these are the key things that are the highlight of the report, particularly the report which was launched on community-based social protection, just to cross over.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I found the report very interesting, more so the findings. It is very obvious that there are community-based social protection schemes that are invisible. These schemes should actually be supported because they are hinged on trust. I mean, if you look at the space in West Africa and in Africa at large, most of our people are in the informal economy. And those in the informal economy are not willing to contribute to social protection schemes because of lack of trust. Uh-huh. But you find that at the community level, the structures, the community-based social protection programs are steeped, heavily steeped, in trust. So I feel that this is where we should focus on the more, commit more resources to, because we need to help these bodies become a bit more structured. Yes. So yeah, the report gives a lot of insight into the power that existed long before the current social protection as we know it. Thank you very much.
Yes, Ms. Abibola, thank you very much for time and thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I wish you a pleasant day.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah, that was Miss Abibola Oye Lonu, Miss Abibola Oye, from Nigeria. But she was representing ECOWAS. It's an economic body of West African countries. It's an economic body of West African countries. It's known as Economic Community of West African States. And looking at the aspect of social protection, one must also be able to realize that there is no part of the world without the vulnerable communities, especially the young, the elders and the disabled people. That is why yesterday the AU and also United Nations Development Fund launched a landmark report on community-based social protection to say in the aspect of those who are not able to assist themselves, in the area of those who are not able to assist themselves, what are those community organization who are assisting? What are those community bodies which are assisting? What are some of the challenges within country social protection? What are the governments doing? And also, what are the private sector and non-governmental organizations are doing, especially when it comes to the vulnerables and those who are in need? One of the things which was stated is that, especially from the conversation with Ms. Abibola Oye, is that when you look at, because I wanted to know what is really happening in West Africa. I wanted to know what's really happening in West Africa. But one of the things that she mentioned is that what is happening in West Africa is that they prioritize, like here we have affirmative action. In West Africa, they prioritize to say, for example, in a country like Cote d'Ivoire, is to say, if you have 100 people that you are employing, 20% of these people must be people with disability. And it's a policy that they put on the table. But the other thing that she also indicated is issues of policy and investment. Then I realized that, some of the challenges that we have is not only us in SADC here, but it's also the challenge in other parts of Africa. Because one of the things that Ms. Abibola mentioned is that when it comes to investment, there is poor investment in the sector of disability. Even in the aspect of data collection, is also very weak. That's why although people are collecting data, they are not collecting data at a standard which is required. Now, what is very interesting is this: when you have a certain problem, and these are not my words, and you have heard yourself, is that when you have a certain problem that you want to address continentally, you need to work together with others. And it's very easy when you're working together with others because you get the technical know-how and you always get a better perspective from other people. Now, one of the things that that was mentioned is that when it comes to regional economic bodies, because you have more than eight regional economic bodies, because you have Arab Maghreb Union, that is UMA, you have Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, COMESA, you have Community of Sahel, Sahara State, C and SAD, you have East African Community, EAC, then you have Economic Community of Central African States, that is ECAS, then you have also ECOWAS, you have IGAD, then you also have SADC. But one of the things that Ms. Abibala mentioned in this regard is that there is no coordination. There is no coordination, no cooperation, and poor collaboration among these economic bodies. It's not only on the issue of social protection. It's also on the issue of where are we going? And how are we going to reach what we want to reach if we are still not united? And these are the questions that we are always asking to say, yes, it's good that all African leaders, they go to UN and they discuss about the end of war in Palestine. They discuss about, Cuba, Cuba embargo. They discuss about everything. But the question is that if you're looking at the North America continentally, have you seen war in North America? People fighting internal war. Have you seen that? There is no war. If you look at Southern America, have you seen people fighting in Southern America? There is no war. There are incidents. When you look in Europe, which countries are, where is war in Europe? There is no war. If you look at Australia, you look at Asia apart from now the Middle East, but you'll be able to realize that most of the conflict that we have now in Africa is internal, is a brother fighting another brother. Now, how are we going to address the issues of economic integration if you are not even meet at that level? People are prosecuting each other home and away. Former president's death sentence of generals being prosecuted, families cut together and all these things. But how are we going to work together if we are not moving from that aspect of saying SADC, EAC, IGAD, ECOWAS, and COMESA, and all these regional economic bodies? They meet and agree on few things to say, let us improve our education system. What is the best way that we can do? Let us work together in research and development. What is the best way that we can do? So, those are some of the questions. You can engage us at 083-288-401-083-288-401. You can still come back and give your view. You can still call back and give your view. The number in the studio is 083-288-401. And maybe what are some of the key highlights from that report, which is on community that is on social protection and community-based social protection organizations. What are some of the key takeaways from this report? Is that there is a gap left by formal social protection system, particularly in rural and informal economies. What does that mean? That means that although the grandmother at the north who is getting social grant every month, she still need to be part of a certain community, because let us look at commercial break, then we'll come back.
as we head to the polls on 26 November 2025 to elect our representatives as regional and local authority councillors. You have to be present to be represented. Your voice can only count if you put it in the ballot box. Get involved. Put your voice in the box.
Stop everything. These bargains that you save are too good to pass by. Two 1.5 kilo bags of real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just 150 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Right Brand pasta, just 8.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams of Romy 40% fat spread, just 12.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram U Brand frozen mixed vegetables, just 36.99 Namibian dollars. 1 kilogram Top Score instant maize porridge, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save. Yes, we all save at You Save.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that is what we are looking at when. The key findings of the report is that there is a critical need to fill the gap that is left by former social protection system, particularly in rural and informal economy. Because what interests me, especially attending that launch of the report, is that everybody was referencing informal economy. Everybody was referencing informal market. And everybody was referencing rural area to say, when it comes to social protection, when it comes to assisting those who are vulnerable and those who are in needs, when a grandmother who is at the village is getting social grant from government, then it was not supposed to end there. There was supposed to be continuation of support, either psychological support, either support in terms of how that money is being used, either support in terms of, micro finance, and also things which are assisting that community to function, but at the center of that is social protection, community-based organizations. And you really find some people who are in the community volunteering, but because these people do not have assistance, they are not moving forward. You can find an organization with good intentions, especially run by youth, for example, but because of a lack of support to complement that, then there is no solutions to that. It's the same thing when a person is living with disability. Social grant is not enough on that ground. That's why there is that gap to say, okay, in some cases you have this assistance, but what is that? Who is at the grassroots doing? What are the schools doing? What are the churches doing? And what are those institutions within that ground doing on that aspect? And the other thing which was stated is that men do not want to involve in social protection institutions. They do not want to be part of those volunteering organizations on the ground, particularly those who are assisting the vulnerables, and it's mostly women, which is actually not a very good thing, because when it comes to issues such as disability, most of the people, when it comes to the issue of people with dealing with disability, that is quite a very sensitive issues, because you don't know what will happen to you tomorrow. If you lose your legs tomorrow, if I lose my legs tomorrow, who is going to assist me? Why should I not assist, even in terms of finance, to those who are in need? Because spending time at an institution which is assisting people that are in need will mean much. Even discussing with a person, because some people, they got isolated, they become so lonely to that extent that they realize that it's like they are not contributing to the community. But even spending time with that person is part of that aspect of, advancing the vulnerable group, especially at the rural area. Because you find a grandmother in the house, and the last time she was greeted was 3 days ago. Just people know that she's there. But that was not how the society was supposed to function. You may think this person is not economically active, but the person can be productive in terms of the ideas that the person is bringing on the table. In terms of financial situation, this person is also important. And also in terms of value that this person is bringing into that community. That's why those are some of the gifts that are felt. And also, there is issues of economy, climate, health-related issues, flexible rules and corrective actions. And there's also issues of accountability, which is not there. Those who are funded, those who are operating NGOs to assist those who are in need, are they really doing what is needed, or they are also taking advantage of that opportunity? Because if there's no accountability in Africa, there's no accountability in Africa, you can come up with an institution, then I'm helping the vulnerable, I'm helping the kids who are street kids, I need these millions of money. But after a few days, you see me driving one of the most expensive cars that you have ever seen. And nobody do anything, no accountability, nothing. Life is just continuing as usual. That was some of the findings of that report. And one thing that I have seen is that problems that are here are the same problems that are in the West, in the Central Africa, and also in the North. We just need to tackle them as a team. Hello?
David.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm super good. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. I'm also super good.
Mm. What is your contribution?
Because you told us that we must not ruin our day.
Yeah. No, don't let anybody to ruin your day, because say not now.
I love that, man.
Yeah.
I really love that, because you see, man.
Yeah.
Issues of peace,
yeah,
and the mind stability,
yeah,
your physics, everything,
yeah,
it must be nourished,
yeah,
by yourself.
Sometimes
I ruin it, to ruin it, and all these things. And if you allow that thing, your day will be paralyzed.
You know, I'm also wondering, you know, you find people early in the morning at 5 o'clock, they just meet each other and they are fighting already, or they are insulting each other. I say, man, early in the morning, guys, we are just have you slept together, or what's going on?
It is the light.
Eh?
It's becoming upside down.
No, just in the morning, people are already fighting. They meet in town and they're already fighting. I say, man, how are you going to go throughout the day if you're already fighting with somebody who just, maybe the person was not driving well, is also rushing to work, but you already started.
Dr. Francis used to say, they put up the middle finger. After somebody has indicated the middle finger to you, now you are boiling with him there. Boiling, and you lock your peace, and you're actually going to work, expected to perform maximally with peace. And because you cannot do your work if you are not at peace, you're speaking yourself.
Because
if the person who has insulted you, perhaps, he's just enjoying his, maybe like a taxi driver. I saw a taxi driver who beat up the girl. Did you see that picture?
I do not.
When the people, maybe they were just looking when the girl was beaten by that taxi driver.
Oh.
So, and she was beaten, the eyes are swollen. I wish to take up that case, man.
What happened?
What happened is that apparently the man dropped her. She says she wants to be dropped at taxi, Sopra taxi rank. And then, you know, those taxi ranks, sometimes they are somehow. And the taxi can just decide, no, I'm going just to drop you here. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, when the taxi driver, that's the shop line. You know how the roads are made.
Yeah.
So for you to be dropped, but it was not in that Katutora thing, I mean, town. And then the lady said, no, the man said, no, I'm not going to drop you there. I'm just going to drop here. So the lady paid, and she went out. Apparently, she slammed the door. She banged the door. The taxi driver came out and he beat that girl, innocent girl.
You know, sometimes.
The eyes.
Sometimes.
You know, before you go, me come in. Yeah. And I'm sure there were people there who were looking. You know the woman that you were talking to in Nigeria. I mean, whether Abora or Jay Bora.
I know. I wanted to say that is your area of interest. Social
my
protection.
Brother, if you beat a woman there, where well, this other woman will come with their chocolate. You know those chocolates that they put on it?
Yeah.
You know, they are so sharp.
Mm.
When they will fix you very well,
mm.
they will fix you very well just because of beating the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the men here and the woman here, they were perhaps just looking at the woman who's, the girl who has been beaten by an idiot or man, the sex driver. Mm-hmm. They could have fixed him, man.
But sometimes you just need to, you need to look at what happened, but beating a person
whatever
in public,
happened,
beating a person
happened,
in public is not a good thing. Even beating a person,
happened,
yeah.
You could catch that man and deal with him, with the law.
Uh-huh.
So now whatever happened, does it really, just the banging of the door, now you just, to hit the woman, the eyes are swollen and all these things.
But you know
it's
that, but you know that when you take that person to the court of law, they have to look at it from both sides, and they also say, even the suspect has a right to defend himself. What have happened?
Against the door.
I'm not saying that, and I'm not judging actually. I just want to get the full story to say what really happened there, and why are Namibians not? Because in Namibia, somebody will just rob you. People are just watching. And,
it's consciousness.
Yeah.
It's the awareness, creation of awareness that those things are not allowed. And if we cannot corroborate, we even ask the madam there that, are people corroborating in solving some of these social problems and all these issues?
Yeah.
You ask them a question. And when it comes to our social safety network, for Namibia, I don't know what you are standing now,
yeah.
But Namibia was doing very well. And remember, those people, they are not called disabled people. They are not called disabled people, just the term to correct you there.
It's people with disability.
Yes, people with disability.
Yeah, yeah.
And many people, many a times, people take advantage of those things.
Yeah.
So the programs that are made for them,
yeah,
and inclusive,
yeah,
and the people now just take advantage. Let's say now you mentioned about the quotas.
Mm.
We also need to facilitate some quotas to be acquired by those organizations.
Yeah.
Because our law there, she was talking about harmonization of this instrument framework.
Mm-hmm.
How do we harmonize them?
Yeah.
And the other day I was here, I learned that when your guys were here in the year from four, before you took over yesterday,
mm-hmm.
You were talking about people are appellating in silos.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just doing own things. There's no coordination. It's the same almost applied to harmonization.
Mm-hmm.
If you harmonize your programs and
yeah.
you coordinate very well and collaborate,
yeah.
you are going to do more than when an individual institution is just going on its own.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
there are really a lot of framework that we need to harmonize within our situation here,
yeah,
so that we can work together. But I think that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah.
But I'm very disturbed by the person who really, of course, he opened a case.
Okay.
I just wish some of these things really you need to take them up, especially people who are aware of the law.
Yeah.
So please, when you see things are happening like this,
yeah.
you might not go directly to confront the thing, but there is always a wise way
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you mobilize immediately there. So that person can be apprehended and be dealt with.
Indeed, indeed.
If that thing happened in Nigeria or West Africa, wherever in Angola there, that taxi driver was going to go.
To go away.
Or to go to heaven and eat glory and sweet there.
Now, is that now the solution to the problem?
Was the beating of the woman's solution?
No, I'm asking a question to say.
It's not a solution. It's not a problem. It's not a solution.
Yeah.
I know they might take the law from their hands.
Yeah.
But it's not a solution. It's not allowed.
Yeah.
But the beating of the woman allowed. If she could have fallen down and then fell and become conscious or even die.
It's true, it's true. I hear you.
We need to be conscious. We need to be made aware about those violent behaviors so that we can deal with it.
Indeed, indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for input. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, just to say, we have, you know, a lot of things that we need to deal with. We have a lot of things that we need to fix in our country. But don't let people to move you out of balance. If you can be triggered by anything, by just an insult, and you want to sort a person out, people are going through a lot. Sometimes just observe and move forward, because you have a lot of things to fix. Otherwise, you end up ruining your day, end up beating somebody up. Then you would deal with law enforcement for quite some time, and things that you should have avoided, because you know I'm always you know I'm always surprised to say, how do you manage to get angry so fast early in the morning? We just woke up and we are trying to plan our days, and you are already fighting in the street. But that's why. I might be able also to see that when you look at some of these cases that you see, you read in a paper somewhere, or you watch news, then you see that somebody was stabbed because of a piece of meat, or was stabbed because of a cup of tombo. But that is not actually the issue. The issue is that you just step on top of a person, or just step on a toe of a person who is already going through challenges. But those are things that we should have, you know, avoided. But yeah, let us look at the economic aspect of things, especially when it comes to the topic under discussion, the issues of social protection, and also the issue of the main issue is on data. And the issue of collaboration, to say, if we are speaking about collaboration, how are we going to make sure that as a continent has one position, Africa has one position when it comes to addressing UN, but does Africa has one position when it's coming to solving of its own internal problems? And sometimes you have to go and look at, sometimes the problems are within. Challenges can be solved within. We have to start within. When Africa take a position at UNGA and spoke so very well about international financial institution, and I'm not against any of that, but when it comes to internal problem, what is challenging is that now Africa, when Africa become free, Africa become a problem to itself. The Boko Haram, these are African people with their own ideologies. The M23, these are African people. Many other groups, these are African people. Countries to countries. Now the question that you're asking yourself is that now, how are we going to reach Agenda 2063? And yesterday one economist made a joke to say, I love this beautiful plan of Agenda 2063, but the fact that by the time we are there, we cannot hold anybody accountable, because the majority of the people who set that, or by the standard of the nature of life, by the time it's 2063, those who set that plan, nobody's going to be there. But it's a very beautiful plan. But what you need to put on the table and also discuss is a question of internal assessment. If SADC is not talking with, is not collaborating with ECOWAS, if ECOWAS is not collaborating with EAC, if EAC is not collaborating with COMESA and UMA, how are things going to work out even within those SADC? Because just look at it this way. We have our own own problems in SADC. We have our own problem internally. And we are thinking about solving a global problem, which is not impossible, but we have to start at home. You have somebody who is leading SADC, then is already cornered by the young people and saying, please guys, give me one more year. Give me one more year. I'm going to sort out this issue, even if it requires me to use helicopters to bring those power, equipment. Now, when is Rajorin going to get the opportunity to lead SADC? If when it comes to internal affairs, things are not working well. So it's quite a very interesting conversation to have. And also to look at what is going to happen. Is it a point because the person is under duress? Is because a person is being threatened or because a person is cornered? To say, I swear to God that after 1 year I'll sort out these issues in Madagascar. And he's quite a very tactical politician because when you go to the records of what happened over the past 2 weeks, and you've seen how he dealt with protesters, his appointment of generals and also his conversation, you'll be able to see that he's not new into politics. But what we are saying is that the politics of survival will not take us anyway. But yeah. Let us look at a short commercial break. Then we continue with the conversation. Especially on the grounds of economic development. And we are also going to unpack the issues of governance and issues of social protection in that governance sector.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at
104.0. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihoe tike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, hora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, The Osherero Omaimburiro, The Catholic Simane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-5803. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
Yeah, let us look at issues of governance. Let us look at issues of governance, especially what's happening in Cameroon. It was stated that Cameroon 92-year-old President Paul Biya on Tuesday, appeared on Tuesday for his first campaign rally for upcoming elections, and the world's oldest head of state is seeking for his eighth term to run for presidency for the eight terms at the age of 92, and not a medical expert, but looking at how long is the presidential term in Cameroon, and looking at the impact of that, one will also be able to understand, and also be able also to understand that he might, as a prediction, to lead until 100, looking at that context. And you must also be able to see that when it comes to Cameroon, this is somebody who has been in power, somebody that has been in power, and is the only person that Cameroon know, especially the young generation, especially the young generation, because when you look at for how long the president of Cameroon has been in power. Then you look at the standard of growth in terms of economy of Cameroon. Then you look at the level of Cameroon in terms of development. You may be wondering and asking yourself to say, in terms of Africa, what have we done? What have we done wrong? And what have we done wrong? Is this the people's will? But if the people is what they want, who are you? Who are you to say no? Who are you to judge? Are you to say no? But it was stated that Paul Biya stood for appear in public to seek for another term. And we also need to look at in terms of Cameroon, what is the population of Cameroon, what is the level of Cameroon's development, what ranks in terms of World Bank, because you must be able to realize that Cameroon is a country with a population of almost 30 million, it's a population of 29 million, and it's a country which is ranked as a lower middle income country, same category as Namibia, same category as Zimbabwe, same category as many other African countries, and you must also be able to see one of the challenges in Cameroon is not unemployment, it's underemployment, it's underuse of worker skills, training or capacity by job, leading to situation where individual work less than their full potential. It's underemployment is also where you have a lot of people are employed but less qualified. They are employed but less qualified. But you must also be able to see that when it comes to youth unemployment, statistics are indicating that in Cameroon, youth unemployment is at 7.7%. That was statistics of 2024. And it's also quite interesting to see that you know, in terms of that aspect, what do you mean when you speak about employment? What do you mean when you speak about employment? What are the data and statistics are saying? And also, not to be biased, being in power since 1982, one of the things that you need to look at is that that is one of the things. But it's also the issue of formal jobs, lack of formal jobs. If you recruit everybody to go to construction, or if everybody has a job as a general worker, how many people are at the industry? How many people are professionals? And how many people are holding the country's economy? And just why we are at that news, because Cameroon elections is coming forth. But it's also very interesting also to see that in terms of what will happen post elections, what will happen post elections, and what is the will of the people, because something that really need assessment. But let us look at this news before we move forward, especially looking at Paul Biya of Cameroon, that is one of the veteran politicians and the head of state in Africa, and also to see.
Cameroon's 92-year-old President Paul Biya appeared on Tuesday at his first campaign rally for the upcoming election. The world's oldest head of state is seeking an eighth term when voters go to the polls on Sunday. Biya addressed supporters in the far north town of Maroua.
Mon objectif, mes chers compatriotes.
My goal, my fellow citizens, is for every young person, whatever they may be, to have opportunities that enable them to easily find a job or become an entrepreneur. Biya also promised to step up security in the region and improve public services. We must intensify our efforts in the areas of education and empowerment for women. We need more women at all levels of responsibility. During Biya's rule, Cameroon has struggled with corruption that has stifled development. But he's still expected to prevail on Sunday. We have come with all our sections and municipal committees, and we're here to welcome him so that we can consolidate both our pact of loyalty and our pact of trust and move forward to repeat what we did in 2018. We want to do even better than in 2018, despite the murmurs we hear. Previous elections have faced questions of credibility, with election authorities accused of working in favor of Biya.
Yes, that is African politics. Paul Biya indicated that he's going to give opportunities to young people, improve infrastructure, road infrastructure, and also upgrade security. But looking from outside, you may have a different view. But when you're inside Cameroon, there are those who are supporting Paul Biya. There's a strong support and strong backing. And if we are speaking about democracy, it's the will of the people. And people are going to vote for their president. Who are you? Who are you to say no? And also, who are you to judge? And also, you don't know what cloth the man was made of. Because every man is different. But let us take the caller and see what he says view. Hello?
Is that the African democracy or African politics? what was our African democratic way of...
But how it has been in Africa, if you were a leader, a king must be there, was just supposed to be there giving advice until God called him. But with African politics, or with the new politics of democracy, somebody must step down after a few terms. Depends on the constitution of that country. But yeah, it's a debatable thing. It's a debatable thing because you may also want to ask a question, and not to step on people's toe, to say, you know, some monarchs, they become when they are there until God called them. But when it comes to Africa, just because it's Africa, it's a debatable thing, because a president was just supposed to, it's an executive power, or somebody, a leader, in fact, a leader is an executive power, is to give direction, not to run around.
Yes, so yeah. Because now I'm wondering whether that practice of democracy, is it the one that was originally an African philosophy of democracy, or is it the one that perhaps now the modern one, which I don't have any problem with, maybe 5 years,
yeah,
and then you step down, and even all those plans and strategy that you had,
no,
within 5 years, because within 5 years, usually they evaluate.
In Africa, there was no democracy. There was African leadership, and we had our own ways of electing our leaders. We had our own ways also of ruling and governing. We had our own judicial system. We had our own executive. And we also have the councils of elders, because that one, you'll be able to see it. It was here. I think it's also here within the traditional authority. But those who watch African movies, and you'll be able to see that there is always a council of elders that is meeting after every important discussion which need to be made. But that is how it has been. There was no democracy in Africa before we were colonized, but we had our own governance system.
So, no, I doubt. I'm not in agreement with that. That there was
no. You are absolutely correct not to be in agreement. I don't even. Yeah.
Even when you look at the leadership of Moses.
Of what?
How the leadership of Moses.
Which Moses?
The Moses in the Bible.
No, let's come to African history.
Yes, that is an African history.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's an African history.
Okay.
So when they came to power, when they were leading, you remember how he was advised by the council of elders that yes, because you need to choose able men, able women that can lead in this direction or in this particular section, for example.
Mm.
So he was advised, and that was democracy at work. So how to choose leaders, how to choose representatives, long, long, long time.
Wow.
But you can still have the leader, a king or a queen, with structures around him.
Mm.
And those people, they were elected. Based on their capability, based on their credentials, but it was democracy, even before this one. I'm not saying that somebody can just
who define it as democracy? What principle of democracy is that sharing?
That was originated from a natural kind of phenomenon.
Yeah, because what we put on the table is that, you know, they are indication to say democracy is a better form of government among other types of government. That one we understood. But to say there was no democracy in Africa before colonialism, it does not mean that the leadership was not good. That is not what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm saying that democracy as a practice has been there. So the one that we have now of limiting 5 years and all these things came in, of course, but it has got its own weakness. So, but then I'm saying that democracy originated here in Africa.
I doubt that, but yeah. It's,
okay, I'll just give you an example of Moses and the others, so you can go back to the empire.
No, I'll bring my supervisor Tate France to take you on that, because okay, thank you. Yeah, with that, I'm not a specialist in that area, but I understand that the France can be able to define correctly, especially when it comes to democracy. When it comes to issues of theology and all those things. But what we are indicating is also that Africa, we don't need to be hard on ourselves. We don't need to be hard on ourselves. And we should not let anybody to come and define ourselves, because it's good to criticize Paul Biya, but you must also be able to understand that every country has its own sovereignty, and people have a right to choose who they want. And in fact, there is no limit in terms of being a president. There is no limitation of being a president. You can be president until 300 years if God wants. And look at what is happening, because although the country has or statistics are indicating that unemployment, especially youth unemployment, is down, although that kind of employment that they are is kind of under employment, but there are things which are being done well in Africa, or there are also good things that Cameroon did well, even better than Namibia and many other countries. That was under Biya. But we're staying for too long. That is the only thing that we have. And also age. Other than that, people have their own choice. And you cannot also interfere with what's happening in other people's country, because it's their choice. It's their game plan. It's what they want to do. Because at the end of the day, you must speak, but you must also know your place in the political ecosystem, know your place, and also know who you are talking about, because the head of state is the most respected person, and in Africa, looking at African tradition, if you are a king, you are a chief, you are a leader of a certain community, you are there until God come and take you, and is that we are what we are following? God come and take you, because you are chosen, because you are the best among them, and you have to provide direction. But it's also a question of argument. It's a question of putting your opinions and views on what ground? On what ground is a debate? There's a high chance that Paul Biya win. It's a lucky hand. Or there's also a chance that he may not win. But that is up to the people of Cameroon, what they want for their future. And also for the future of Africa. If a man come to the public and present his point of view, that is, what is it? And it's indicated that nearly 20% of the country are eligible voters. That is 8.2 million people that are going to vote this coming weekend. And we'll see what will happen on that aspect. Because when you speak about democracy is not those who are in charge, it's the people who are making their choice. And if Cameroon, that is their democracy, we must respect it and put ourselves in that line. That is Africa. And with these words, just indicating to you that stay tuned. Continue following Eagle FM Namibia at all our social media platform. Also make sure that when it comes to the Villager newspaper, you get access to that content, because it's coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and every Friday. And tomorrow, you'll be able to get your content of the Villager newspaper. And yeah, with these words, I'm going to leave you. In the good hands of Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. And it's always good when you are giving your comments. It's also always good when you are interacting with us, especially our social media platform, that is Facebook, X, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And make sure that you are always up for learning, because every day is a new opportunity for you to learn. The fact that you can read and write, other people are not able to do so because either of their situation of the time, but the fact that you can read and write, that means that when you have internet, when you have book, let us read, and also improve the way we do things, because at the end of the day, that is the Namibia that we want. That is the Namibia that we want. So, yeah, with this word from me, David Shombe, bye for now, and see you next time. Same place, same time, and bye-bye.